Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Family Time. I am your guest host today, Mary Stanley, and Thursdays is all about family. And family is so crucial for life. Now, when we talk about family, it's not just blood relatives. When we're talking about family, we're talking about people that you are around, people that you do things with, people that you are close to. Family in general is who you consider your family. Now, there are different circumstances for you not having one, or what you think you don't have one. But, you know, so today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about what family is and what family means to you. Give me one quick second while I have a technical difficulty. You know, family for me is crucial because I didn't have a good one growing up. And when I was in the military, that was my family. That does get lonely. And then lucky for me, I get that second chance at life to where I met, you know, a man and got to have two amazing children. And so for right now, hang on one quick second. You know, ups and downs in family are, nobody's perfect. And we live ourselves to high standards a lot of the time. We don't allow ourselves to make mistakes. And forgiving ourselves is harder than forgiving everybody around us. And at the same time, we turn around and we look at different things. And we expect somebody else, especially parents, our parents, to be held to a little bit higher standard when we're all human. And the one thing I want to talk about today, as I bumbled and stumbled and not prepared for today, is talking about what it's like in my family, but also what it's like as a parent to raise special gifted kids. And how as what I do with my kids and how a lot of us struggle with our kids because we tend to stand in their way and not realizing that we're standing in their way. By that, I mean we want our kids to have a better life than what we have. And in the process of this, we try to pave the way for them, make things easier for them. And when we do this, we believe we're helping them, but in a way we're hindering them. Because we're not letting them fend for themselves in a way. No example of this is like I shared on Monday or Wednesday. Is, you know, everyone who follows my show knows, you know, I have two special kids. They're both autistic. Along with my daughter, she's so sensitive, and she doesn't always understand the communication barriers and understand what's being said. And so what I've caught myself doing, and I've slowing down on this, is I end up talking to people, the teachers, friends, people that she's going to interact with beforehand and let them know what she's like and what's going on with her. And the problem with this was, is I'm giving them a preconceived notion of her before they had a chance to meet her. And so they're going to automatically treat her differently because of this. And I'm standing in her way. And this dawned on me on Monday when I brought my daughter to Boy Scouts for the first time. And I didn't tell them anything about her other than the leader. None of the other kids, none of the other parents, nothing. And she sailed just fine. She had fun. She was interactive. And that's where it really, I had that aha moment and realizing that I can protecting her and just letting her sail on her own. Hi, country. So Ron was supposed to host the show today. He's got fielding 4 or 5 different phone calls. He let me know at the very last minute. So we're running the family show. And one of the topics that I can talk about unprepared, and I know you've had plenty of experience with this because you've got two kids.
No, I have raised a house of 17 people.
You have two very strong, independent boys that have reached heights that you would never have dreamed of. But at the same time, you've collected children along the way and helped raise and mentor and grow into phenomenal people. And, you know, I just had this revelation the other day and how much, you know, I personally, as a parent, have stood in my kids' way, not meaning to, trying to pave their way a little bit better. But, you know, in general, all parents kind of do this a little bit as a handicap, not meaning to handicap their kids, but, you know, trying to help them to have a better life by paving that way a little bit more.
Well, the first thing I would say, Mary, is being a parent has something that nobody else is going to talk about. You're not going to read it in Webster Dictionary on what spiritual insight is. My mom and grandmama had the power to look through the walls and say, put that cookie back. You can't have a cookie before dinner. If you ask my mom, she raised 7 kids by herself. If you ask her who her favorite was, she would tell everybody right in front of them. Country Boy's my favorite out of all of y'all. Why? Because I always hung out with my mom and did the things that she wanted me to do. I was being bullied before anybody knew what bullied was. So I learned how to cook and clean and sew, mop the floors and plant the flowers and all those kind of things. But Mary, that's not to mean that I'm calling any parent out there in the world biased, because they have to give one a little bit more attention than the other one. There is a supreme balance on what you can do to help somebody and what you can do to handicap somebody to where they become codependent upon you. But, you know, you can only do the best you can. And then you start to look at the statistics in America, and the statistics from our past, it says, oh, he came from a dysfunctional family, he'll never prosper. And that's kind of like a lie, bigger than a lie. And based on your geographical locations, your family upbringing, it does help if you have parents there and grandparents to rock you on their knees. But let me give you one more example. We all know that we pout and whine, even as old people now. We get upset if we got to sit in the drive-through line too long, waiting on a burger and a shake. But what happens in the process of growing up, having to learn that you can't get everything when you want? But my grandmama, I say that she spoiled me, because when I went to my grandmother's house, which was my house because my grandma and my granddaddy lived with us, she would always look me in my eye, Mary, and tell me, baby, when you're at my house, you can have whatever you like. And she meant it, from the floor to the ceiling, but she had the spiritual discretion on when I needed a cookie, when I needed a peppermint stick, how much Kool-Aid I could drink before, during, or after dinner. She knew how much to give in order. I tell you, let me put it like this and I'll hush. Too much of anything good is not good for you. I raised 2 sons. I had morning sickness with both of them, and Brian weighed 13 pounds and 14 ounces when he was born. He's a big baby. They grew up fast. He was cooking by the time he was 3. Now, I could have gave my son, who I love very much, my car keys when he was 5 and told him to drive himself to the store, because I let him drive and sitting up in my lap, and he had learned how to stack pillows up in the car seat. He may not be able to reach the gas pedal, but he knows how to pull it down and drive. So my point being, you can give somebody something good, but if you give it to them too early, then it's not a good thing. So based on the discrepancy of a parent has to know when to bust your behind. When you call timeout in the country was when they got too upset at you and they knocked you out. That was the timeout. Wasn't no go to your room. Go to whose room? To their room, because the room that you was going to was in their house. They had a right to tell you, I brought you in this world and you disrespect me, I'll take you out of this world. Last one, Mary, when we was raised, family time, we sat down at dinner and everybody got a chance to speak and say, Mary, how was your day? Country Boy, how was your day? Well, Country Boy, what did you learn at school today? Nothing. Oh, I'm in trouble now. You mean you was going to school for 8 whole hours and you didn't learn nothing? You didn't learn how to open the door for the young lady? You didn't know how to learn how to scoot over and let somebody sit next to you? You didn't learn how to be nice, then me, you're going to have a little lesson after dinner, young man. So it was a family quality time to where everybody got a chance to be. If you was being bullied, you wasn't the only one that knowing you was being bullied. If you sitting there talking to my grandmama with your head down, she said, okay, you're not telling me everything. What's the matter, country boy? And I'd have to spit it out. So that was a good venting time. But again, those times that we grew up in, well, they will never come back again. But who's to say how much love your child needs? But this one needs a little bit more than that one. And Mary, you being a parent, grew up in, raising a young man, I hate to say, raising a little girl going to play with teacups, and the little boy wants to climb on top of the house. So, Mary, I just got to pause right there because, me, you can laugh back and forth. I have many, many, many childhood memories, good ones, and I have some that ain't so good. So stop right there, Mary.
It's funny you brought that up about the little boy climbing up on the roof. He's done that. He is a very independent thinker, and he will do what it takes to accomplish his mission. You know, this summer, Dad was cleaning out the gutters and left the ladder up next to the roof. Turn around, 5 minutes later, he's walking back and forth on my roof. Mom freaks out a little bit. But, you know, yesterday, for instance, he went out to our shed behind our house, and we're still got snow in our yard. I'm in Minnesota, and it's like 40 degrees, so our pool ain't getting turned on yet. Our isn't getting set up yet. He says it's spring. It is time for pool time. So he brings out those rubber boats that you use on the lake, drags it all the way into the house, into our garage. I go, looked at him. I go, I ain't helping you. You want this so bad, you better figure it out yourself. Took him 3 hours to figure it out and plug in the air compressor, hook it up, blow it up, and another half an hour to figure out how to get it in our bathtub because our bathtub isn't that big. He was whitewater rafting in our tub.
Wow. But see, that's the creative genius that the divine creator is what I call it, has placed in all of us. Now, if you look it back, just a little cliff note on my childhood, when I was being bullied, I couldn't play with the big boys. If I stubbed my toe and made it bloody, I'd cry and go home and tell my grandmama somebody pushed me down or something. So I played with baby dolls. That was before anybody decided to come out of the closet. No, I'm not gay. Not bashing those at all.
But you know what?
Little
black country,
boys don't play with baby dolls, okay? Go ahead, Mary.
What they have found out, because we had this discussion in our house, too, because my son was doing that for a little while. They have found little boys that play with dolls, babies, little baby dolls, are better with newborn babies than kids, little boys that aren't. Because that's when they're taught, you know, don't poke the eyes, don't do this, don't, you know. You teach them how to play with a baby, a real baby, and they transfer that. They become more gentle with little babies and little kids smaller than them than they would if they didn't play with the dolls. Not a bad thing. I think
you know,
play with dolls.
I'm also a child psychology major, and I also learned that little boys that play with little baby dolls have more respect for women as they grow up. They tell a woman, well, look, ma'am, you need to stop doing the butterfly and versus sneaking under the stairs trying to get a look from the bottom side. You know, there's a whole different type of mannerism that going being raised in a house full of women. And I was that fortunate one that my grandmother was there, my mother was there. I have older twin sisters that are 50 years old now that I got a chance to see. One of them is nice peanut butter brown, and the other one is black as your hair when she was there. That was not identical twins. I don't know what you call them when they're twins and they don't look nothing alike. But they wasn't nothing alike. One was the athlete and one is still an interior decorator and a house mom, a housewife, runs a resort. So, again, why is it that all these statistics poison us to make us poison our kids? Mary, when I first came on the show, I heard you say that you didn't handicap child and put a big note on their back and says, please forgive me, I'm autistic. So what happens in the process, I make jokes all the time, but it wasn't a joke. There were so many people in our community that went to the same little school that they only sent one bus. Well, until the bus got overcrowded and you got kids standing up nine down the aisle and the school is looking at a lawsuit if they have to slam on brakes. So when I said I grew up going to school on the short bus, I wasn't joking. It's a special gifted kid bus, and they always made fun of me because I rode on the short bus. But when I graduated from high school, I had an IQ of 162. You kind of genius level, but they made me feel like I was inferior by making jokes about I know everything. Oh, he knows everything. Oh, ask Country Boy. He knows because I read books. While y'all out playing cowboys and Indians, I'm in there reading to my grandma. So what makes it happen, so happens, stance, because nothing just happens, that scenario, hypothetically speaking, that means I'm just making up the situation, y'all. Two kids are born. It's really a true story. All the names have been changed to protect the guilty and the innocent. These two kids were raised in a household whose father was an alcoholic. Oh, I'm pretty sure we all know one. Don't point no fingers. It could be you. They was born in a family as a father who was an alcoholic and who was very, 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 very abusive, verbally and physically, to a significant other. But as years pass, all things work together for the good. One kid to this very day has never even taken in for a portion of a seltzer. He don't like nothing that fizzes in his mouth, nothing that he might resemble alcohol. If he can't stand rubbing alcohol, if he gets an infection, don't bring alcohol out of the room. He'll run. But the other one ended up being just like his daddy. Oh, that's a curse that some parents speak onto their kids. You're going to be just like your daddy. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? If that's not a good thing, you shouldn't be saying it to your kids. You're going to be just like your daddy, and your daddy's in prison. What am I growing up thinking I'm going to be a prisoner too? So what's my point in being? Life is nothing but a series of decisions that we make. Those brothers could have chosen to be alcoholics, both of them, because that's what they saw every day of their life growing up. One chose to be, and one chose not to be, take an alcohol. Now, what's the difference between the two? They was raised in the same household, under the same roof, ate the same food every night, came from the same DNA, and it ended up turning out to be two entirely different individuals. Why? Because we are all uniquely designed. I don't care if you came from a split embryo. Joke. There was a triplet that was born, and they had three different ages. One of them was 10, the other one was 20, and Country Boy was 50. How is that possible for three triplets to be born that came from the same egg and have three different ages? They were artificially frozen embryos and artificially inseminated 10, 20 years apart. So again, you can come from the same embryo, you can came from the same DNA, you can come from the same household and have the same father, the same mother, eat the same food, but you, I'm talking to you now, are so uniquely designed and crafted in your structure, in your DNA, in your fingerprint. Ain't nobody can do what you do, like you do, when you do what you do, but do not use where you came from as an excuse to keep you from your destiny and where you're really supposed to be going. End story right there. Your childhood and those things that actually end up looking like it was working against you, actually when the story ends, those things that were supposed to hold you back are supposed to work for your best. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, and we are actually excited about being part of your new family, part of being able to connect you and introduce you to some that father that you might not have had. I'll stop right there, Mary.
You know, that's kind of how I grew up. You know, I grew up in an abusive home, and I spent a lot of time with my grandma where it was safe. But I got a brother and a sister that I don't talk about because I don't have anything to do with them. You know, I grew up where my sister and my brother were into the drugs and all that stuff. And, you know, it never was hidden from us that I have a family line of alcoholism. And I always had my mind I was breaking that cycle. And you hear today so many people turning around and blaming their childhood. Oh, I have this problem because I was spanked, or this happened, you know, and I can't do this in life. You have to use the good and the bad in your life to motivate you into the next world to break that cycle. You know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was all about breaking the cycle. You know, for the longest time, child abuse was not considered child abuse. It was okay. It was acceptable. Hell, beating your wife was acceptable for a period of time, too. And we started to see how that was wrong, and we were all about breaking that cycle. Well, now we got to use that to break the cycle of life and uplift yourself to accomplish so many things. Because if you're motivated... Yes, sir. Welcome.
Mary?
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you. I'm so late. I had planned on being in the show. Just a bunch of things happened today. I would like to let everybody know on this call that God is on the move. There are things happening in the lives of people on the show that are calling in. There are things that are happening in the lives of people all around us. And there are things that don't make the news, but are life-changing, lifting up. There are people that are finding joy in their life that never had it. And now when they're finding it, the moment they're in,
hello,
they have to capture that. Anyway, hi, Derek. Please let me finish, Derek. It's very important that people understand that you have to capture the moment that you're in, being grateful to God for you having it, and finding out what it's supposed to do. What are you supposed to do with that grace that was given to you? And when you find it out and you apply it, He will multiply the blessings, shake down, crush together, overflowing. And that's His promise. So, I'm done.
Ron, I'm reminded when you first started speaking, I'm not really into a lot of rap music, but there's a guy named Eminem talking about seizing every moment. Do not miss your moment. These reality shows have kind of twisted us, because if anybody listening to me blinks their eye and 10 seconds later, you can't even prove to me that blink existed. If you take a breath right now, and 2 minutes later, we're still talking, you can't prove to me that breath even existed. Only reason I know it existed is because you're still breathing. We have to be able to accept every moment for what it is. You heard Mary say it. You heard Ron say it. You heard me say it. All things work together for the good for those who love and believe that it can happen. I remember when God touched my spirit, I was not arrogant, but I didn't actually think it could happen to me. It made me so breathless that I couldn't even breathe, but He breathed life into us. So now the part is that regardless on where you are, sometimes we're operating out of the spirit, I call it the spirit, of uncertainty. But you have to be certain in that moment. Why? Because we're living for today. Today, because we're not promised tomorrow. So seize that moment today. If your spirit, I forgot to tell you, your spirit always speaks before your flesh can get its 2 cents worth in there. If there's been a little whisper going on inside of you, says move, gotta move. I steal this one from Ron Clayton. Gotta get her done. What is it that you're telling yourself? What are you feeling inside of you? It's a sweet, soft, little, gentle voice. It ain't for everybody to hear. The whisper says, I'm going to take the last and make them first. The whisper says, I have your destiny prepared for you. It's just a step-by-step, means nothing immediately, that you have to go through. God is not trying to figure out how to get you to your destiny. He's preparing you in the stumps and the bumbles and the bruises and the backstabbings and the conniving, because when you operate out of the spirit, oh, I forgot to tell you, in the heart is where it truly, truly starts. If you put your heart out there, eventually you're going to get in trouble on, step toes, used, abused, but the heart of the matter is that he says, I am that I am. I am love, and the love that he's placed inside of you, placed inside of me, placed inside of Ron, placed inside of Bob, placed inside of Rick, the whole family. We're talking the best of the best from the north, the south, the east, and the west is coming together, and everybody has a chance, an opportunity to love your very, very, very best. Oh, I hear Marvin Gaye singing in the background. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. We got to change the world, starting with you and starting with me. Back to you, Mary.
You know, that is so true. And
amen.
And
well, we all have an opportunity to use these gifts. And, you know, some days we don't feel, there are days when we just don't feel like much of anything. But that's the day probably we need to step out and fight it and make a difference. You know, you could be making the difference. I know a person right now makes a difference and has lit up a whole community. She's a light in the world. And her efforts are changing the lives that are going to make a difference going forward in this generation. And I congratulate, because it would be easy for her to say, hey, I've done my deal. But instead, she stepped back in the arena, and she's just doing an outstanding job of being a leader and directing and helping.
Sound like a queen, Ryan, that you're talking about.
Sounds like a queen to me.
Rise up again. But Ryan, I didn't mean to interrupt you again, but this is what we want everybody to truly understand, and that little short story that I was telling you just now. We all are personal representatives of Almighty High. Call him what you want to call him. The creator of the universe created you. We out here in the South use a word called ain't nobody can do what you do, like you do, when you do, what you do. And we feel so honored and privileged just to be able to do it with you. You heard me say one nation under love. Do you understand now that can't nobody give the love and the compassion that God has given you to give away? Oh, and to mention him. Love is not love until one gives. Did y'all hear that word? Gives it away. It's kind of like the law of the universe. Whatever you put out there, what comes around comes back around. Oh, Joel Griffin. Shout out, Joel Griffin. Joel Griffin called it the cycle of appreciation. That's why we love on each other the way we do. Hats off to Mary. She's built us and connected us to the world while being a mom of two specially gifted kids. Oh, I forgot to tell you, a wife, a veteran. And then when you look at everybody on the team, did you not hear me? Do you understand the words that are coming out my mouth? Ain't nobody can do what you do like you do when you do what you do. So we're calling you out, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Shout out little Princess Ariana, who's opened up the kindness club to the world. We're going to use the children to confound the wise. We're calling every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl coming together. Shout out Burl Walk to help make for a better world. That's what we're doing. Why? Because we care enough to share enough information with you so that you'll know what you need to know in order to be able to grow.
You got it, country boy, and thank you for sharing that from your heart. Well, you know, I hate to tell you that I have to leave, but you got so many sharp people on the call today. You don't necessarily need me. I came in. Our normal host, by the way, his name is Robert Oakley. And in case you don't know, I want to share a little bit about Bob Oakley that you may not know. But this guy, he was in the corporate world. A lot of people call him a big shot. He was. He was executive vice president of AT&T, in charge of all their real estate in the world. Now, he had 9 kids. So not only is a corporate big guy, how about a father? And today he's been recognized by the Knights of Columbus, not just at his local church, but in the organization nationally for his serving. He doesn't just put on a uniform and, you know, act important. He actually does. His life on a day-to-day basis. Right now, he and his son are building an apartment building for a group of immigrants that had no place to live. See, Bob puts his heart, his money, and his spirit behind improving the lives of people that on the nightly news, most people think that they're nothing but trash. But they're people. And Bob's heart is all about helping people in a real way. And he does it with his son in a construction business. And at his age, he shouldn't be up there on a scaffolding. So we're trying to help him to get economically free, too, which many of the people know about, a guy named Rick Reese that is on the show on Tuesday. And he's all about helping people create careers and opportunities so they never have to be in that position. So we can help them create economic independence. So we do things like that. And we have other programs. That's just one. So, guys, I just hope that you'll take to heart what's being said. And there is nobody on this show or this company or organization that has a corner on caring. We all are deficient in all of it. So we just got to grow that so we can do more and be more. So thank you for listening to me today. Tomorrow is a real special day. It's salute to Captain Len Kane, 5-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee. Man of the Year, Humanitarian Man of the Year Award will be on the show tomorrow. If you'd like to meet him, if you've never talked to a nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize, you can talk to him live on the show at noon tomorrow. Everybody, please be blessed, and thank you for coming. Mary, thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Give me a call later.
Hey.
Good evening, Ron.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Oh, there goes Oak Man. What's up, Oak Man?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I heard her. I'm multitasking.
I'm multitasking today.
Hi, Bob.
Go ahead, Oak Man.
Hi, Derek. How are you?
How are you?
Good, good.
I'm helping
the show.
Yeah, I'm just sitting back and just listening.
Enjoying the show, right?
Yeah.
And you're helping people every day, right?
I'm helping Jordan with his business when I can.
Yeah, good.
I guess he's going to teach me new things in his business, right?
Yep. Well, you just keep working with Mary, and you just keep doing what you're doing because you're doing the right things.
Keep working with Jordan, right?
Yeah, with Jordan and with Mary.
Mary, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. And with Keith and the others.
Tommy, we need to get in touch with Tommy yet.
Yeah, we'll talk to him some more.
Yeah, we
That's
need
great,
to.
That's great, Derek. I'm proud of you. You're doing the right things.
I want to help Tommy have a better life.
Yep, absolutely.
He needs a better life, I think.
Well, that's his decision, what he wants to do, you know?
Yeah,
all we can do is give him the information, and we can encourage him. And if he wants to do it, If he wants to get involved, if he wants to help people, we'll help him.
Yeah.
Oh, man, let me elaborate on that real fast, because I've been through a life whole series of 40-something years on working with people in the community, people that live underneath bridges, people that sleep in cars at night, and people don't even know where they're going to sleep until the sun goes down. When you heard me mention what Jewel Griffin mentioned, the cycle of appreciation, I learned
right.
a long time ago, but I go into the neighborhood, and I got several friends now that's been used, abused, molested, the whole nine, oh, and been to jail to where they don't even trust nobody. So a lot of times when I'm walking around, when I say when you put your heart out there, eventually somebody will trample on it or use it, abuse it. That's not for you to discern or to decide. That's a God thing. When I heard, you heard me say many times before, my granddaddy says, and I quote, you cannot control what nobody else thinks. You can't control
right.
what nobody else says, and you can't control what nobody else does. You can only
right.
do what you do. My grandmama says, baby, when I go into the community to do work, I bought my own amens with me. They may not thank me. They might not give me no certificate. They might not give me no plaque. They may not even recognize me, because most of the people that I bless don't even know my name. They said, what was his name? He bought y'all food. He gave y'all coats. He gave you somewhere to sleep tonight. What was his name? I don't know. It must have been God. Yeah. Oh, it must have been God. So when I look into the mirror, Michael Jackson said, if the world won't make a better place, if you, well, it starts with the man slash woman. It has no gender. Woman, man, we're equal in essence. We're just different in function. But when you look at the man slash woman in the mirror, and you're armed and extremely dangerous with a blessing of obedience, and if you be the best that you can be to you, then you'll be able to be the best that you can be to somebody else, even if they don't know your name. I asked the guy what his name, and he looked at his shirt. It said Nike. Oh, was it Reebok? Doesn't matter what your brand name say about you. What do you say about you? Are you walking around telling yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I want to walk with the same compassion that Christ did. You know, if the truth was really told, they didn't really like him. He had to hide out. He was hiding out amongst the people. I think it was, what's that guy he was having dinner with, Judah? Who ratted
yep,
on
yep.
him and told him what the real Christ man was? Did you hear about that guy named Peter who denied him 3 times? They're best buddies.
Amen.
Best
yep.
buddies. They walked with him and talked with him and sat with him in the cool of the evening and ate figs and did all those things. And believe me or not, they just backstabbed him. So some things in life are good. Some things are bad. You got to take the good with the bad. Please believe
yep.
me when I say, I'm just telling what I think. I'm telling what I know. All things work together for the good, for those who love the Lord. We're going to walk in that attitude. We have no hidden agendas. I love it when I say that. We have no hidden agendas on what we do. We simply want to love on you so that you can be the best you that you can be. And because you can be the best you that you can be, operating out of your obedience is the answer to somebody else's prayer, because it truly, truly, truly is a blessing to be a blessing. And if everybody could bless themselves, we wouldn't need each other. So that's why strategically God will send people into your life to bless you. They've said it and use it as a cliche. God will close some doors and then open up a new door. Regardless on where we are in our life, change is a thing that's inevitable. It will happen. It will come whether you want it to or not. In part closing right here, it says, the experts, don't ask me who they are. They said anytime that anyone, oh, sounds like a equal opportunity God show up, anytime that anybody attempts to change their life for the positive, it always before Coca-Cola, always works out for the positive. Watch this. Even if it does not work out, I'm coming out, the way that you had originally planned, because you have a plan and God has a plan, man. So in order for you to be blessed, you simply, Ron says, I apologize for being late. You're never anywhere where you're not supposed to be because it's preordained before you got here.
Yep.
Anybody.
Amen.
To be blessed, they must, not maybe, be at the right place at the right time, with the right people. And God will strategically send people into your life to bless you with no hidden agendas, because if the truth was really told, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with his glory. And if he don't want to find some people, he says, I'll make the rocks cry out.
And with the right mindset. It's so important to have the right mindset, to believe in yourself and to believe in others and to believe, certainly to believe in the good Lord. And it's essential. It's critical. It's necessary. And I believe that God's in control, not us. Like you said, country, God is in control, and he has a plan for each of us. And we can have a plan, but it may not necessarily coincide with his plan. But eventually, we will find out what his plan is, and we can accomplish much more if we follow his plan and give him credit for everything we do, and give say the prayer that blesses God first, and then after that, then we can ask him for what we want. But we need to show him that we appreciate him, and that we honor him and we glorify him, and then everything else will come afterwards. So I think we're probably gonna end it here. Mary, you still on, or have you hung up?
No, I'm here. I'm the host, so I can't hang up.
I thought Bob was reading there. I thought he was talking about seek thee first the kingdom and all of that other good. He'll give you good looking T-shirts, and I'm not knocking down name brand nothing. We're talking about cattle on 1,000 hills and his abundance, exceedingly abundantly more than you can imagine. The question is not for the world. The question is for each individual. What are you saying to you about you? You've heard me say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is
Amen.
The truth. If you say that I can't do that, I'll never be able to do that, I'm not, oh, there goes the mistake. You're comparing yourself to somebody. Your best competition is you. The old African proverb said, if there is no enemy, E-N-E-M-Y, in me, I-N-M-E. If there is no enemy in me, the enemy outside of me can do me no harm. One's worst enemy is oneself. Why?
Amen.
Because we're stuck in that carnival mindset. You've heard me say the most powerful force in the universe is the power of the human mind. One last little statement. In time that you have something that has been declared as documented, and it has been done by somebody, it has been witnessed by by somebody else, and it has to be documented by a third person. It becomes a fact. It has to be done by somebody, witnessed by somebody else, and documented by a third person. That's fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. But here's what you don't know, but may not know. The truth has the power to overthrow the fact, what has been written, what has been documented. You're going to hear every day, if you listen to the right good news, new. Oh, I forgot to tell you. God says, I'm getting ready to do a new thing that eyes have never seen and ears have never heard of. Did you know that there's new inventions, new apps, new? I was one another day. I was sitting outside, and I had just got through eating some corned beef or something I was eating, and I had a little piece stuck between my tooth, Bob, and I got my pocket knife out and got a little thing and whittled it down. Oh, they call it a toothpick. This guy invented a toothpick and his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will never have to work another day in his life. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he was special. He came in on the short bus like me. Why? Because he has a different perspective. You may not see what I see. Oh, it was around Christmas time, my favorite song is Do You See What I see? You may not see what I see. God gave me spiritual insight. What he spoke to you came from the inside. I told you about the most powerful force in the universe is the power of the human mind. What we're done is we got stuck between our heads, and you forgot to listen to what your heart said to you. It won't speak out loud. It's going to come in a little. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Your Siamese twin to your heart is your stomach. They live right next door to each other. Sometimes you get a gut feeling, Bob. You get a gut feeling. Your grandmama didn't tell you. You didn't read it in a book. You didn't see it in a YouTube video. Your stomach spoke to you. You sure you wasn't hungry and that was a growl? You sure that wasn't gas? God can speak to a rock. He can speak to the stick and turn it into a steak. He can walk the rock and make water come out of it. I put rivers in the desert where it's dry. What makes you believe that God can't perform a miracle in your life? You're still stuck in the Old Testament? Come on now. I just went through a whole monologue of seize the moment. Be at the right place at the right time with the right. Get out of your head and get into your stomach. Stop right there. They said a man, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. How did they get that? They figured if I can get to his neighbor, he'll get contaminated and feel the same thing that I said. Last one, I said feel. I didn't say think. Faith comes from hearing. Sometimes you can't hear it. You got to feel it. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the spirit you will never hear. You have to feel it. You have to feel it. You have to feel it in your heart. Sometimes you have to feel it in your stomach. But if you let your head get involved, put its flesh, two cents worth in, it'll mess up that stomach feeling that you had. It'll mess up that heart feeling that you had. God will speak to your heart. He will speak to your stomach. He'll speak in a whisper, and he'll tell you what you need to do because he's an extreme navigator to get you to your destiny.
Amen. Well said, country. That's why I love to listen to you, because you speak the truth all the time, and you have a tremendous ability from God to be able to express things in the right way. And so I always like to listen to you and listen to your expressions. Thank you, my friend. You're wonderful.
Yes, sir.
I love you.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you, Bob. But last one, if you read the book right there in Genesis, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have to watch what we say to people, because when you're speaking the Word, it needs to be a positive word. When God said it was good, saw it was good, and it was good, not necessarily in that order, it's of God. But if we speak hurt, harm, danger, destruction, death to people, then we're just a devil in disguise.
Amen. Well, I think we're about at the end, folks. The time is up, and it was I'm sorry I missed the first part of the show, but I was involved with some construction work with my son, but we finished that early, so I was able to get on to the show. And
I got one more for you, Bob. you ever heard the word favor? When favor falls upon you, nobody can relieve it from you. When we first started the show well over 10 years ago, it was for 30 minutes every day. And then as we grew, and more, exceedingly more than we imagined, the show started running into an hour. And then God says, I'm getting ready to do a new thing. Then Mary showed up. And she told me, country boy, we can have as much time as we want. I can stretch the show out for 2 hours. We did a 2-hour special the other day. Why? Because Mary told me that we serve the Father of time.
Yeah.
What do we have in common? Our Father is the controller of time. I mentioned Vanilla Ice or 50, whatever his name was, Eminem, says, please, sir, don't miss your moment. If the Spirit is whispering to you now, I'm not calling you to the altar. Mary's going to give you the information on where you don't even have to go to the altar no more. You can just go log in and put your email address in there and the phone number, and you got the hookup. That's how easy it is. Lynn Kane said, we don't charge you nothing. We're non-for-profit organization. They closed it in Lynn Kane. He said, we don't get paid to do what we do, but I hear that God's retirement plan is out of this world. Shout out to you, Lynn Kane. I stole that one from you.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show tomorrow with Len Kane and Ron Clayton, and they're going to talk about a lot of important things. And Ron is of course is nominated 5 times for the Nobel Peace Prize. Just a tremendous man who has just dedicated his life to helping people. And I am just so thankful to the Lord for having the association with him and with you, country, and with you, Mary, and with Ron Clayton and my friend Derek and all the people that are making this team work and make this program work. And it's just such a tremendous effort for all of us. And I thank God for that he put us in this position to be able to communicate with people. And to be able to reach more and more people through the radio show and through all the other shows that Mary has hooked up through with the Hope Radio and with the Hope program. And I thank you for that, Mary. You're just a tremendous woman that's doing a lot of things in God's name. And thank you for that. And thank you, country, for your contributions as well. So,
amen right there.
I think what we'll do is we'll call it a day, call it a show for now, and unless somebody's got anything they want to add, Derek, you have anything you want to say before you go?
No.
Okay. Well, in
words of the Clampett family, y'all come back to see us now you're here. Lynn Kane always makes jokes that y'all can't really see us, but y'all can hear us. We don't want you to hear what we're saying. We want you to feel what we're saying. So same time, same bat channels they used to say in the country, Monday through Friday, and then we serve up Hope for lunch. It tastes great, and it's spiritually fulfilling. Join us again tomorrow, y'all.
It's Lynn Kane. Hey, country boy.
Yes, sir.
I got you on Facebook.
Awesome, Derek. Awesome. We got some wonderful things we're getting ready to do to Derek. I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
All right, Derek, good day, everybody. I'm signing off, too.
Bye for now. Derek, see you tomorrow at noon Eastern time.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you and your family. God bless all.